Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're driving home with Simon and Michael here on Joy 94.9, and in our back seat, all the way, Simon, from a place far, far away. Far, far away. I can't walk there. I can't even swim there. Well, I could, actually. I could swim. I'd be tired after a while. Is Gabrielle Applin. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Look, you're very welcome here anytime. We like famous people in our back seat.
I bet you do.
So the more famous people, the better. Now, for people who don't know who you are, you are a very famous English singer, British singer.
I heard that I am. I don't know if I am. Well, weird.
Well, people know who you are, therefore you must be famous.
There we go.
Although, having said that,
you can measure fame now by the amount of Twitter followers. And I think, look, 156,000 people it's a few.
That's quite a few.
Yeah, it's
people.
Up there. Mm. It's up there.
As opposed to my 156, just like
that individual. That's still a lot of people, though.
Not really, though.
Yeah, it is.
Like, the internet's big, come on.
Yeah, but the world's big.
Yeah, I know, but I'd rather, like, at least 200.
Okay, well, you'll get there. I'll see if I can get you some more followers after this interview.
Excellent. You'll be on there. Yeah. You're singing. You're very famous for... You started getting attention because of your covers.
Mm.
Right, YouTube. And YouTube's wonderful.
It's amazing.
Before we've got a few questions about just about you as a person as opposed to you and your music, but... What's been the difference between all of those, you know, covers on YouTube, other than being really famous and well-known, between that and now and what you're doing now?
So the difference between the two?
Yeah.
Well, with the YouTube thing, it wasn't like I put something online and it went viral and that was the only thing that happened. I mean, it was a gradual build for me. And when I first put stuff online, it was actually a video of a friend and I singing something and we just put it online just to kind of share between us. And I didn't realize that other people watched it. Like, you know, I didn't realize that people put their self on YouTube. I didn't realize it was a thing. And I was kind of writing. My favorite thing to do ever is write, like before singing and playing it. I just love writing. And that was what I was doing, but I never really shared it with anybody. And then when I saw that people were kind of asking me to cover more songs, I was doing it. And then that gave me the confidence to kind of put up my own songs, and I started gigging and meeting lots of other musicians, and it kind of just progressed into what it is now. I mean, I never wanted to be like a YouTube cover artist, you know, and I think some people do it and they love it and that's what they want to do, but I never wanted to do that. I wanted to be a proper artist and kind of be commercial and still be credible at the same time.
It's tricky sometimes. You get all that attention on YouTube,
mm.
and you just don't know if you should, like, if what's going to happen next. Like, you just don't know if you do something different, will they still like me? You know?
It's weird.
It's very weird.
You've got your own videos online that you think about that feedback, don't you?
They're not on YouTube, though. It's a different place.
It is. One thing that really blew me away about you is your age. Now, I would never have guessed your age. Listening to the lyrics in your tracks, mm-hmm. I would have never guessed how old you are. Tell our listeners what year you were born in.
92.
To me, that just happened.
It did, yes.
And it's just amazing to hear such intense lyrics from such a young vocalist. Yeah. Have you been through a lot in the past? It's sort of...
I think I went through the same things that everybody through at different stages of my life. I just kind of wrote about it differently to, you know, I just had a bit of time on my hands, didn't have that many friends, so, you know, I like books and stuff.
books, who needs books?
One thing else that I know that you do like, and I'm one of your 156,000 followers on Twitter. I feel like such a number.
You are number 1,034.
You've put some photos up recently of your dog.
My dog.
And I've got to say, one of the most phenomenal looking pets. Such a cute dog.
Oh, do you like her?
Yeah.
She's sweet,
I do. What's her name?
Zippo.
How long? You know, what sort of dog?
This is the best interview in the whole wide world. I got her actually last time I was in Australia. I went up and saw her, and the lady didn't let me have her.
Because
she was very young. So my boyfriend actually got her whilst I was here last, and I was so depressed. So I just like telling everybody that I got a dog. But yeah, she's a Boston Terrier, and her name's Zippo.
Mm.
She likes tripe and, and playing with other dogs, yeah.
I don't think her and I can get along liking tripe.
She stinks. She stinks of it. It's gross. Oh. It's good for her, though, so.
Look, the more you, and look, no one else will eat it, so she may as well eat it herself.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Mm. Yeah. It's good for that.
Now, you supported Ed Sheeran last year on a tour.
Yeah.
Are you expecting a song to be written about you, like the one that he's just released about Ellie? Is there anything we should know now?
Well, no, because I haven't had any kind of romantic relation with him. So, right, yeah, luckily, no. Don't see that happening anytime soon.
He's the male version of Taylor Swift, isn't he?
Such a little bitch.
if he was, let's say he was to write a song about you, just because he just felt like,
yeah,
you know. Is there a particular theme or story that you prefer him to be thinking about in that song?
I'd like, if he was to write a song about me, I don't think I've ever annoyed him. And I don't think, you know, like I just, maybe he'll just hopefully write about me being nice or something. I don't know.
It won't be a country song then. That's we're a blues. No, it'll be full on bright bubblegum pop, I think.
Yes, please. That'd be great.
If you could have any vocalist cover one of your tracks, who would you like it to be?
Oh, I just want all of them to do it. Probably. Oh, this is, I can't choose. I'm thinking about it as if it's actually going to happen, whereas I could just pick someone and then it's over and done with.
Leave it with us. It will make it happen.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'd think I'd like Crosby, Stills and Nash or something.
Ooh.
Do you like them? Are you looking at me like
that? No.
I'm a big, Neil Young, or all four of them all together, like, but in the 60s, I want them as young men. Kind of singing my song in harmony.
She's just set you a challenge, I think.
See, look, I can...
You go. Get yourself to LA.
When I said that we'll make it happen, I haven't quite perfected my time machine yet, so I can't quite take them back to the 60s or take your songs back to the 60s.
Well, you promised me, so...
I know,
he
but...
did, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. I should have put an asterisk
on
that.
Breaker.
I'm sorry.
Terms and conditions.
I'm sorry.
Now, you recently did a pop-up show at the Vanguard in Newtown.
Yes, I did.
How was that?
Really good. I was in such a strop that day because I was so jet-lagged. I had my 2 hours sleep and then I was getting ill throughout the day, and it got to about an hour before the show and I was like, I have to cancel it. And my manager's on holiday in Dubai because that's what managers do.
Yeah.
And I rang him. I was like, James, I can't do it. I'm dying. I just can't do it. And he was like, we'll cancel it, Gabby. And then I got there and I was like, well, there's people outside, I can't cancel it now. So I did like a kind of a 50-minute, kind of a shorter set, and then met every single person at the end.
Wow.
And then it turned out okay. I was moping. And while I was moping, I couldn't sing. And as soon as I sucked it up and was like, I'm just going to do it, I managed to be able to sing. So there we go.
Oh,
awesome. So how would you compare something like that to, say, you performing at Glastonbury? They're chalk and cheese,
yeah.
But what do you prefer?
Do you know, the Glastonbury is like my hometown festival, and it just happens to be the biggest festival in the world. So actually playing there is an honour, no matter where you're playing. Even if I'm just busking outside like a hot dog stand or something, it's incredible. And yeah, it's just the most amazing festival because it's like, it's commercial, you have pop music, but then you have like, you know, you have young people running around doing all sorts of weird things. And then you have like people like my mum and dad rang me on the day, and I was travelling down from London at 9:30 in the morning. I rang her, I was like, have you got your tickets okay? You're going to get in? She's like, yeah, Cappers, I'm already down here looking at weird stuff. And I was like, all right, well, there you go. So like, you know, it's so diverse, but it is one of those, it's so much going on that it's a big stress and you have to get in and you have to rehearse for it and it's a big thing. And But the excitement of it always makes up for it. Whereas like the pop-up show was, I literally turned up, I didn't even have a set list, and I just went with it. So it's different.
How did you choose then? You were flying and you can't be bothered doing anything but sleeping. How did you go about trying to work out what to play and what order and all that sort of stuff?
Well, because I was pretty ill that day, I just had to choose the ones that I could actually sing. So yeah, so that's how.
Oh, was there one that sort of got, was more received well than the others?
they're all received kind of the same way. I mean, I was so out of it. Honestly, I was jet lagged. I can't actually remember the gig really. Like, and I had like my hot whiskey and I did everything that I could, but I was so spaced out. Like I was talking so much like random stuff, awful, awful things.
But the audience like that sort of interaction as well.
Yeah. It was kind of one of those one-off ones where I make a fool out of myself and because they didn't pay, they can't complain. And then it's fine.
There should be more of those.
Yeah. True, yeah. True. So you were recently at Taronga Zoo.
Yes,
and
I was.
And you got to cuddle a koala. Is that your first?
Well, I didn't get to cuddle it. Your first time? I didn't get to cuddle it because you can't do that in Sydney. So I got to poke it. I got to stroke it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really, really soft. It smelled like eucalyptus. Last time I was in Australia, I got to go to Australia Zoo in Brisbane and I actually got to hold one. She was called April and she was very sweet.
So you've been here a fair bit recently,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah, I just live here.
Oh, well,
that's a good idea.
It's easier then. Yeah. You have to fly here all the time.
Mm.
That would be very easy, wouldn't it? Yeah.
And then we can just keep you here for a while.
I know.
And then you can do pop-up shows all the time.
Yes, please.
We've got plenty of hot dog vans here that you could that you could do.
Perfect.
Down the showgrounds, the race course, just
all of it.
Just come down.
Speaking of tours, not so much hot dog stands, but do you have a tour planned to come to Australia very soon?
I want one, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing kind of booked in, but hopefully at the beginning of next year.
Wow.
Yes.
Excellent.
Are you more of a, if you like, in a touring sort of sense, you know, are you more of a small venue person or a bit of a bigger venue person?
Oh, it depends. I don't know. I like all of them. I love the kind of the excitement of a big kind of full production, big band show. But I also love the kind of spontaneity of like a little intimate show where I'm playing on my own. So
one thing I've always wanted to ask a vocalist, and I never have, and it's only just dawned on me now, do you get to choose your support act when you tour?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, like, I always get the final say. Like, my label or my agent come to me and we're like, we want this person on it, and they have the power to do it, but if I say no, it doesn't happen. But like, most of the time I choose my artist, yeah.
Which Australian artist would you choose?
Ooh, I don't know. You know that girl on X Factor at the moment, Sydney? She spells it like Sydney, but with two E's.
Oh, yes, I have.
I love her. I want her to do it.
Why? Why her?
She was awesome. I met her the other day. She's amazing. I love her voice. But then any other Australian artist that I choose, I should probably be supporting them. Like, I wouldn't choose Nick Cave to support me. I think I'm a bit stupid.
I think the two of you work very well together.
I love similar. Nick Cave.
I don't see why. You should do it like a duet type thing. Like,
I really
together.
Want to. Honestly, like, that would be the dream. That would actually be the dream. I love him so much. I found out recently as well, he lives next door to my sound guy.
Wow.
I know.
You're in. That's it.
Well, I'm not in though, because he was like, well, you should have asked me. So, yeah.
But he's the neighbour. Why doesn't the sound guy ask? Like, he's the neighbour.
Yeah, I know. But
it's like you going like to my next door neighbour and saying, hey, you want to, you know, come and sing for me? That's a bit silly, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think if I was Nick Cave, I would tell me to do one. So, you know.
What would be the most memorable gig for yourself?
Most memorable gig? I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I never plan them. It's like they become memorable for a reason that you know, random things that happen during them afterwards. Like the most memorable one I had was actually my tour of UK and Ireland last year in March. I did the UK and then we had a few days off and then we went on the bus to Ireland and we started in Belfast and worked our way down to Dublin. And when you're touring, like, you don't get ill when you're working, and as soon as you have a day off, it gets you. So I shouldn't have had those 2 days off. I got to Belfast and I managed to get through the show and I was like, I'm gonna be fine. And the next day I woke up in Dublin on the bus. I went to my boyfriend's house and I just got ill and I was like, oh no. And it was getting worse and worse throughout the day. I thought it was going to get better. And then an hour before I went on stage, my voice was gone. I was like, I need to get some steroids for my voice. Like, I never usually go for that, but like, I had no choice. Everyone was already in the venue. My support acts had gone on. I was like, I can't cancel it now. Like, everyone's here. But I literally couldn't sing a word. And I went to the doctor and I explained to them, I was like, look, I'll pay. I'm doing this. Blah, blah, please. This is my job. And he was like, don't worry. You can do the singing competition next year. And I was like,
oh no.
No, I don't think you understand. This is my job. Like, I need to do this. And he just gave me some antibiotics. He was like, you'll be better in a week. And I was like, well, thanks. So I had to do it. I just got on stage and I explained that I couldn't sing. And I had lots of my friends are artists and stuff. And they all got on and everyone sang with me. I had a girl come up from the crowd. She was like, I really want to sing with you. And I was like, of course, there you go. So like, and actually, like, it was the worst gig I've ever sang. but everyone, like, I had amazing reviews. I felt so happy. And my boyfriend went out the next day and went down to get me some food and stuff. And there was a girl that served him in one of the cafes and said that she was at the gig and that she really admired me and stuff. And I was like, well, that's weird because I sounded like a gremlin. But, you know, it was amazing. And that was kind of like, that was really memorable for me.
That's awesome.
Like that. So, yeah, things like that.
See, that's where you would do where I would do it with the doctor. I would say, look, do you not know who I am? Do you not know who I
am? I literally just cried. I just sat in front of him. I was like, please. It was horrible. I just cried. Went on stage, like, makeup done my face. I was like, I'm so sorry, everybody. It was horrible.
It's memorable for everyone in that case. Like, you know, it's...
Only one person was mean and wanted a refund.
Oh, really?
I told her to go and ask the venue. I didn't have it. I didn't have a ticket money.
Well, no, exactly.
Imagine if I had a little bum bag on with that. Oh, here, let me give you your change. Like, what am I going to do?
You are about to tour the US.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No.
I just did it. Yeah.
Okay, I was looking at old news.
Well, no, because I actually did it a few months ago, just before I came straight from the US to Australia. So maybe you're looking at that one.
That would be it. What were the differences between the UK and the US? Did you notice anything?
It's very different. I mean, with the US, I had a great time, but I think it's just so big that not everything's the same. You know, with the UK, it just feels like you're always an hour from home and everything's the same. Like, you know, and I'm just used to it. Whereas I never really toured the US before. I'd been to LA and I'd been to Texas, and that's the only places I've ever been. So when we started in New York and made our way across, and each place was like visiting a different country. So it was really hard to get into a routine and feel relaxed and comfortable. So I was just on edge the whole time. But it was great. I mean, it was just so different everywhere I went. So I was just a bit scared because I didn't know what to expect everywhere.
You're getting a lot of exposure with your tracks through television here in Australia. Are you finding the same over in the States? Are you getting that support?
No. Okay. The fans are great, but that's about it. So, yeah. But that's all you need. You know, fans are kind of the people who buy your music and allow you to tour. So as long as they're there, it doesn't matter. So.
Right.
Now, the latest album is English Rain.
It is.
What's next?
No, I'm recording my second one at the moment. I'm really excited about it. I think with English Rain, I'm so proud of it. It was my first album, but it was the first time I actually did that. So I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just kind of going along like, oh, maybe this will work. And what was great about it is that I now kind of look at that experience and be like, okay, I loved those aspects. I didn't like that I did that. And now I can take everything I loved and put it in my next one. So that's what I've been doing. And as well, like, those were songs that some of them I wrote when I was 15, some of them I wrote like the week before it was released, you know. So it was a big collection of songs from like 6 or 7 years, whereas this one I've written all in kind of the space of about 6 months. And the sound, I think with writing, you get better the more you write. So I've been writing better songs, so I haven't been hiding behind production, and I've been a bit more brave with it. So
how would you describe that sound?
I'd say my writing's probably, I think the writing's matured, but I'm not scared to write a pop song anymore. I think my production last time was so clean, and I had to compromise it a little bit, but now I'm kind of... because of that, I was writing kind of... trying to write weird songs I'm still cool, I'm still a dark singer-songwriter. but now I'm just not scared of writing a pop song, so that's what I've been doing.
So would you find that, being that the first album has had so much success, does that make it then easier for you to adapt to new styles in the second, or
I don't
harder?
Think so. I mean, I think once you have a success, you like, there's pressure to live up to it, but at the moment, like, I've loved the new songs I'm writing so much that I could, like, 10 people could buy it and I'd be like, I don't care, I've made this amazing piece that I love. So
great.
I just don't care.
You're not like the Miley's of the world and pumping out hits for money.
I love Miley Cyrus.
Look, so do I.
I absolutely love her.
So when will we be seeing you on a big litter ball, perhaps, trying to knock down some walls and just your underwear? Is that going to ever happen soon?
If Miley Cyrus invites me to do it. Like, I absolutely love her.
Oh, well, in that case...
Can you organise that?
Can you sort that one out for me?
I'll start emailing. Okay. I'll see what I can do. Yeah, yeah. So the latest single is...
Please Don't Say You Love Me.
Correct. I've got all these things in
your brain
in my
somewhere.
Head.
You're
it's
just really
there.
Stressed about getting Crosby, Stills and Nash to cover my song.
Do you know how hard that's going to be? Do you know what? I did promise, so I'll try my best.
Thank you.
It's okay. It's okay. That's what I do here.
I know. Right?
I'm a giver.
Of grief.
Well, it depends who you ask, doesn't it? You know?
Yes.
I do like to give other people.
Yep.
hopefully we'll see you touring soon enough. So that way at least people can, like, you know, pay money to hear you sing.
Yeah.
Other than obviously on a recorded piece of plastic or on a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, it's been an absolute joy having you in the studio. even though I do have a very long list of things I need to do now.
Yeah, you better get started on that.
How long do I have, by the way, to get that done?
Well, bad things will happen if you don't have it done within about 2 months' time. So.
I'll do what I can.
You've got two months.
2 months. All right, I might just clear my schedule then. I'll just stop.
Quit my job. You'll need to.
I will. Yes. Mm. I'll find a PA to get me through that as well. I think. Yeah. Thank you for coming in to
Thank
Joy.
You for having
Thank you so
me.
Much.
You are in the back seat here with Simon and Michael here on Joy 94.9.
Summer comes, winter fades. Here we are, just the same. Don't need pressure, don't need change. Let's not give the game away. There used to be an empty space, a photograph without a face. But with your presence and your grace, everything falls into place. But just please don't say you love me, 'cause I might not say it back. It doesn't mean my heart stops skipping when you look at me like that. And there's no need to worry when you see just where we're at. Just please don't say you love me, 'cause I might not say it back. Heavy words are hard to take. Under pressure, precious things can break, and how we feel is hard to fake. So let's not give the game away. Just please don't say you love me, 'cause I might not say it back. It doesn't mean my heart stops skipping when you look at me like that. And there's no need to worry when you see just where we're at, oh. Please don't say you love me, 'cause I might not say it back. I'm fool's rushing, and I've been a fool before. This time I'm gonna slow it down, 'cause I think this could be more the thing I'm looking for. Just please don't say you love me, 'cause I might not say it back. It doesn't mean my heart stops skipping when you look at me like that. And there's no need to worry when you see just where we're at. Oh, please don't say you love me, 'cause I might not say it back. Just please don't say you love me, 'cause I might not say it back.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.